Now we're going to be looking at the Gospel, which is St. Mark, chapter 7, 31 to 37. I'm trying to find the rest of the text, probably on the other side of this page. Yes. Okay. It says, now, in this part of St. Mark's Gospel, our Lord is moving in and out of Israel. He's in the north, and the synoptics, as you know, our Lord is in the north and then makes one trip to Jerusalem for his passion. Now that is probably a literary structure, because if he's a devout Jew, he has to go at least three times in his public life for the Passover. Now, John has more visits to Jerusalem, but that's a literary device. So now, you see, he's in Gennesaret, and the Pharisees come and ask him about this eating with unwashed hands. And he says, look, it's not what goes into a man that makes him unclean, it's what comes out of him. Because we got all this stuff, he doesn't, but we do, all this stuff inside. Hatred, anger, lust, jealousy, whatever, vengeance. You see, if that gets out, that's what defiles us, okay? Now, he went off from there, back out to Tyre. Tyre and Sidon, they're in Lebanon. So he's going up to Lebanon. And he went to a house. This is Mark's device all the time. In the house, he starts talking to his disciples. Well, you see, he entered a house and wanted no one to know about it, but he could not escape notice. It's beautiful. Soon, a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek. So he's out of Jewish territory, and now he's ministering to non-Jews, prophesying what the church is going to do, you see? And you know the whole story. And he finally gives her a hard time. It's not right to take the food of children and throw it to the puppy dogs. Oh, yes, it is, Lord. They even eat from the stuff that falls from the table. He's thrilled. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Go home. Your daughter is free of the demon. She's fine. And then, right after that, you see, he left the district of Tyre and went to Sidon, which is just north. You know, it wasn't a big, he's still up in pagan territory. And that's where this story begins. See? And again, leaving the territory of Tyre, he went to Sidon. And he went through Sidon until he got to the Sea of Galilee, but north. So he wound up in the Decapolis, the 10 cities, which was another pagan part of the world. He did that a lot, you know, more than you realize. Even though he said, like he said to this lady, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but I'm making exceptions because I want to heal them and I want them to know about me so that when I die and rise from the dead and my apostles come this way to preach, you'll know who they're talking about. And so he came, you see. And so then he left the district of Tyre, went by way of Sidon to the Sea of Galilee, into the district of the 10 cities, Decapolis, which is a pagan area. You remember, this is where he was there, and the man came out of the graveyard. Anyway, the people brought him a deaf man who had a speech impediment. Now this is very interesting. You see, Mark describes this speech impediment. You see, this man was Kophos ke Mogilalos. Mogilalos, difficult of speech. That word only comes once in sort of the official Greek translation of the Bible. It's the prophecy we had for the first reading. The ones who have difficulty speaking will be able to speak well. You see? And Mark puts the word there. For those who know the Bible, get ready that Mogilalos, back in Isaiah 35, he's here. You see? And so, and he's deaf. It often happens to deaf people that can't speak well because they haven't heard the sounds. Okay. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. But remember the blind man up in this same area when he put his hands on him? Can you see? I could see, but the men looked like walking trees, you know? He prayed again. These are mysterious, aren't they? Here's the Son of God. Why can't he just... I guess he could. Okay. So, and they begged him that he put hands on him, but instead, he took him away by himself from the crowd. And then, he put his finger into the man's ears, and spitting, touched his tongue. That's a healing gesture. Also, sometimes an exorcistic gesture. And he does it. Why would he do that? He's the Son of God. He can say, be healed, and they're healed. Why would he get so? Maybe humility. Maybe to establish contact with this man. It's hard to know. All he has to say, the leper said, if you will it, you'll make me clean. He said, I do will it, be clean. Bingo. Why doesn't he do it? These are the things you take to the Lord when you're doing your Lectio Divina. You read that and you say, Lord, I have no idea why you did it this way. And why is Mark calling him this Mogilalos? You know, to show that you're fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah 35. And therefore, we're in pagan territory prophesying that the whole world is going to hear about you and love you. But it goes on. He looked up to heaven and groaned and said, Ephata, that is, be opened. And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. He ordered them not to tell anyone, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. You can imagine, how quiet can you say when your best friend just got healed? I mean, like, how quiet can you remain? He didn't want, he's not a, what's the word? He's not a popular preacher, you know, going around kind of healing everybody and making a show of it. I don't want that. First place, they'll be honoring me for the wrong reasons. I am the Son of God, who in my body am going to suffer for their salvation. Honor me for that, not for these signs of the kingdom and of the compassion that I'm doing on the sick. I'm doing that to let you know that I'm somebody special and to let you know how my Father loves you. He's not indifferent to your suffering and your sickness. So I'm going to heal this man and prophesy. This is what I'll do for all of you if you'll believe in me and stick with me until you die. I will heal you. You'll have a perfect, beautiful body forever. And that's what he's doing here, you see? So, he'd ordered them not to tell anybody, but the more he ordered them not to, the more they proclaimed it. That's normal. Not obedient, I'm not saying that. They were exceedingly astonished, and they said, he has done all things well. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Now, this is very interesting, you know, because the church has always seen there. Maybe you've been at a baptism and seen this, you see. You can't preach until you've heard. You've got nothing to say. I heard that the Christians were... That's not preaching. You only preach when you speak what you know. You only preach when you talk about what you've heard. Your ears were open and you heard. And so, you see, this is an audiovisual aid. This man can go around, as he did. Well, it says they must have all been doing it. You see, the more they proclaimed it. Did you know what he did? One man really knows what he did. Now I hear and now I speak. Now, what do you think the church would see there? Hearing and then speaking. You get it? Hear the word, be changed by the word, and then speak it. Just don't leave it in your ears. Let it come to your mouth. Let it come out. Do you know what we do at a baptism? This is an optional ritual. I don't know why it's optional anymore, but it is. The celebrant, I'm reading from the rubrics. The celebrant touches the ears and the mouth of the child with his thumb, saying, "The Lord Jesus made the deaf hear and the dumb speak. May he soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father." Ephata. And he says, Ephata. When I'm baptizing a baby, and I go, Ephata. You know? And I say this prayer. The Lord may open the ears of the deaf and open the mouth of the dumb. May he soon open your ears to hear his word and your mouth to speak it. That's the new evangelization. Get it and share it. Now, even in the preparation for the catechumens, the elect come before the celebrant, and he touches the right and left ear and the closed lips of the elect and says the following formula, Ephata, that is, be opened, that you may profess the faith you hear to the praise and glory of God the Father. That's quite a lesson, isn't it? The Lord is saying, when you hear this on this 23rd Sunday, remember, you heard it. If your heart was open, as long as not just your ears, it made a dent on you. Now go speak it. You learned something about Jesus, about his compassion, about his divinity, about his healing power. Go tell the world. When you're deaf, you know, you're kind of a go to church because everybody else goes kind of guy. Well, you don't know much. You go, you hear it, but you're deaf. You don't hear it. But one day, when the Lord touches you, then you start to speak it. And you know, sometimes it's so obvious. People will come up after Mass and they will say, "Oh, Father, that was such a great sermon." Well, it was like every other sermon. But the Lord used it to touch that person. And they're going around telling everybody what they learned. That's Ephata. See? That he was deaf up to now, or she. And now the Lord broke through that, and they've heard something, and they're telling everybody. Isn't that exciting? You know? In other words, what you hear in the secret, you proclaim on the housetops. Tell the world about it, because they need to hear it. They're frightened. They're lonely. They don't even get in an environment where they can hear my word. They don't know anything. All they're doing is, you know, tired of living and scared of dying, as the song goes, you know. We have to help them. We have to help them. Because all they can do is amuse themselves, right? All the way to the graveyard. That's a tragedy. And so this gospel, which is a beautiful gospel, is addressed to us. Proclaim what you know. Amen.